Heavenly Father, we thank you for the servant, St. Joseph, whom we honor tonight. And we pray that through his life and example, in some ways we see more of your character. And fathers would hear an exhortation and see an example to follow in his example. And so we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight we are celebrating Christian Father's Day, in which we look at St. Joseph, who's the husband of Mary, the guardian of our Redeemer, the guardian of Jesus, and we see in him a father figure to imitate in many respects. I want to point out first off that we learn about the first thing that I want to point out in Christian Father's Day is that God cares about fathers. He cares about fathers enough to handpick someone for his technically, genetically fatherless incarnate son. Jesus obviously had an eternal relationship with God the Father, but was born of a virgin, so he doesn't have a genetic father. And yet God thought it was important enough for him to have one, to have a guardian, a protector, a father figure, a mentor. And so that's who Joseph is. That's what I want to explore tonight. You know, in Scripture, we actually don't see a whole lot about St. Joseph. He's kind of hidden. We don't have any recorded words of St. Joseph. Compare that to Mary. We've got a lot more words in all but Mark, all of the gospel texts but Mark. We have recorded words from Mary. Do we in Matthew? I don't know. But in Luke and John, we do for sure. But we don't have any for Joseph. We don't know any words that he recited. We can assume that he recited Scripture, so we've got that. But we have no recorded sayings from him. But he is an incredibly important character, a person, historic figure. And I see him in some ways like John the Baptist, who said that Jesus must increase, and I must decrease. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus and then receded into the background. And Joseph, in many ways, did the same. He raised Jesus as a son and then receded to the background. In fact, by the time Jesus begins his ministry, we don't see Joseph. It could be assumed that he passed away at this point. But in Joseph, we see an ideal human father. And I want you to think about this. He's ideal enough that God the Father chose him and his betrothed wife, Mary, to raise and care for God's very own son. He's handpicked. And so Joseph is a figure that we can follow and imitate. This is especially to fathers, Christian fathers, but this is for all followers of Jesus. He is someone to imitate. And so let's look at his character in particular tonight. I want to look at the virtues of Joseph. The first thing that we learn in Matthew's gospel, when we hear about the infancy narrative, the first thing we learn is his character, specifically Joseph's obedience to the Father. We hear in Matthew 1:18, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now everyone around her sees her pregnant and engaged to Joseph, and they could think, well, either they have, done something they shouldn't have too early, or she has committed adultery. And we can imagine that's what's on Joseph's mind, because we hear, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So, in the Second Temple Jewish context, Joseph could have shamed Mary, and in a shame honor culture, that's the end of your life in many respects. You are kind of seen as tarred and feathered, a scourge of the community. Or he could have, on the on the other hand, not on the other hand, he could have also sought to actually put her to death by assumed adultery. So it looks bad for Mary. Joseph, under the law, could have done a lot of different things. But what he does do is he, as a righteous man, decides to quietly annul this engagement, this betrothal, for her sake. More than just following the Old Testament law, the letter of the law in particular, he sought to live righteously before God in all ways, inwardly, and displayed an inward virtue and a mercy that very few other men would. I mean, I could just imagine the response of several people to, say, their fiancé having cheated and being pregnant. Joseph, in this scenario, decides, okay, we're just going to very quietly deal with this, without causing shame, without seeking the death penalty. So he was a virtuous man. Deep down within, he was virtuous. But in addition, he was quick to hear God's voice and quick to obey. So while Joseph was considering what to do in this scenario, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." So he's a man of dreams, kind of like Joseph in the Old Testament, in which God spoke to him through dreams. Joseph, the betrothed of Mary, hears from the Lord several times through dreams. And when he does, we hear in verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph hears the Lord and immediately obeys, immediately puts it into action. And we don't have any recorded words of Joseph. So whereas Mary says, "Be it done to me as you have said," Joseph doesn't say anything like that, except by his own actions. So he acts that way. He just puts it into action. He obeys immediately. And Joseph's devotional piety, along with Mary, but I want to point out Joseph's. Joseph's devotional piety sets the tone for the family. They go to the major feast days within Israel. Annually, they make a pilgrimage. And it's not, they're not like Christmas and Easter Christians where they show up at a church on big holidays once or twice a year. Annually, they make a pilgrimage all the way to Jerusalem for the Passover. They go to all the major feasts. We see Mary undergo purification under the law. Jesus is circumcised according to the law. Over and over again, we hear about their piety underneath the law of God. Joseph was a devout man. We see him as virtuous, quick to hear, quick to obey God's voice. He is an obedient man to the Lord. But that obedience under pressure still shines through in that Joseph is a guardian. So we call him the guardian of Jesus. He's a guardian in that he both presides over his family and he protects them. He presides in that when Mary is later in her pregnancy, Rome has a census in which everyone has to go to their hometown in order to be counted in the census. And so Joseph has to go to Bethlehem. He takes his very pregnant wife on this journey. He has to oversee the whole operation. Towards the end of it, she's having birth pangs. He has to find a place in Bethlehem so that she can both give birth and also care for the child afterwards. Apparently, there's no room in the inn. He has to do all of this under pressure. He had to oversee this entire operation, make split-second decisions, and not all of us are great at that. You know, some of us, when we're, when we're flustered and driving to the hospital, we're a block away, we make a wrong turn, we back in and end up rear-ending or hitting another car. And we have to talk to the police the next day after we've given birth. to Felicity. That's some of us, okay? But and so what we see in Joseph's example, he's doing a lot under pressure. We got to give the guy credit. He did better than I could have in that scenario. He presided over his family in times that really needed to happen. When his wife was pregnant, when she gave birth to this young child, he is there helping to lead and govern. We also see him protecting his family in really instrumental ways. He was a guardian to his wife and new child, specifically from harm's way. God communicates to him, telling him that Herod, King Herod, was seeking to put all children under 2 years old, all young men under 2 years old, to death. And Joseph, being Joseph, he hears God's voice and immediately acts. He takes his whole family, uproots them, and goes to Egypt to avoid this from happening to Jesus. So the slaughter of the innocents would have included our Lord Jesus had it not been for Joseph's obedience to the Lord and immediate protective action in fleeing to Egypt. And this happens again, and that's part of the reason that they relocate to Nazareth versus Bethlehem. They wanted to be out of harm's way. And then we see in today's text in Luke, Joseph and Mary frantically searching for Jesus in Jerusalem. And we might think, well, that was a boneheaded decision. That's bad parenting. But you also have to think, when they are making these big pilgrimages, they're doing so with their whole extended family. They have a big caravan with different parts of the family traveling separately, and so they might have just gotten a babysitter. In fact, they did get a babysitter because he wasn't with them. He was, they thought, with somebody else. And so, you know, when we entrust our kids to somebody else, we finally get a chance to breathe sometimes. And Jesus, being a human child, it was likely that he was 12 years old at that point in time, so he was almost a teenager. They probably just needed a chance to breathe. But when they finally, I'm imagining here, okay, finally touch base a day into their journey with Aunt Marge, who is supposed to keep track over Jesus. She says, oh, you know how kids can be. He ran off a day ago. And so they make their trip back to Jerusalem. They search for 3 days, looking intently, trying to find him. And Joseph is part of this. They end up going to the temple. Now, I actually think, again, this is me assuming or imagining, I think they're probably going there to pray because they couldn't find him. And lo and behold, there he is. But you could just imagine Joseph there searching with Mary, the frantic anguish of trying to protect God's own son under his protection. So we see all throughout these infancy and youth narratives that Joseph was a guardian to Jesus. But he did not stop caring for Mary and Jesus after birth and after he was a teenager. He was a provider. Joseph was a worker and a hard worker, a blue-collar man, likely we would assume a skilled tradesman, specifically carpenter. You hear about how Joseph was a carpenter. But he was someone who everyone in and around Nazareth knew by name. In fact, when they're seeing Jesus, like, isn't this the carpenter's son? They don't even call him Joseph. They call him the carpenter. If you had a carpentry problem, Joseph is your guy. Everyone knows him. So he was a hard worker and a household name in Nazareth. He worked hard to provide for the family and put food on the table. He also worked to apprentice Jesus, his son. And we can assume that in this, he's treating Jesus as a biological son, as if he was his own son, bringing him up in the same vocation as himself. As things were done in the olden days, when they would pass their trade down to the next generation. Now, when people recognize Jesus, they call him a few different names. They're like, when people are around Nazareth, they're like, isn't this Jesus? They say, isn't this the son of Joseph? This is what we see in Luke and John. Isn't this the carpenter's son in Matthew? And then he himself is called the carpenter in Mark. See, Jesus and Joseph, the vocation was the common ground, because they side by side did this work, and Joseph passed this on to Jesus. Likely, this apprenticeship also included the law. Jesus, and I don't understand entirely how this inter-Trinitarian relationship works. Jesus knew all things, is the Word of God. And yet, when he became incarnate, he did not access this divine knowledge and had to learn like any human being would. And so Joseph, I believe, discipled Jesus, because Jesus grew in wisdom. We even hear this in today's text in Luke, that he grew in wisdom and stature with God and man. Now, he's the forever Son of God, eternally. He has all knowledge, and yet humanly, he learned, and Joseph taught him. Now, Joseph was also a caregiver. With Mary, in particular, we learn that, and so it's unclear, I'll say this, it's unclear when Joseph passed away. But at the conclusion of Jesus' earthly ministry, before his death and resurrection, when he's on the cross, he entrusts Mary to John, his disciple. He says, "Woman, behold your son." And then he says to John, "Behold your mother." And John cares for her from that day forward. And again, this is assuming, but Joseph had passed this on to Jesus himself before his own death. Joseph is an example with his obedience, with his work as a guardian, and his apprenticing Jesus as and providing for the family. He's an example for all Christians, and especially for men, as fathers in particular, but again, for everyone. His obedience, we see an example for us to follow. He was devout. He was present in worship when it mattered. He recognized God's word. That means he was reading. It was knowledgeable of the word of God, of the Torah, the law. He was diligent to follow God's word when he heard God speak to him. And he magnified Jesus. We learn a lot more about Jesus than we do of Joseph. He recedes into the background because he helps to magnify his son. And these are things that we can imitate. We can be present worship when it matters. We can recognize God's word and diligently follow his commands. And in our own lives, we can decrease while magnifying the Lord Jesus. But in particular, what Joseph does when he lives this out, lives this relationship out in life, in day-to-day life, he does several different things. He's present with five P's, just so you can remember, okay? He is present with his family. He's there with them. They know him. He has a relationship with him. He provides financially. He works hard to put food on the table. He is a tradesman, a carpenter. The opposite of this would be slothfulness, to not work to provide and care for a family in that way. He's a protector. He guarded his family from danger. And this is what many fathers are called to do. I often will think through scenarios if I hear a knock in the night of, okay, I could run to the kitchen, grab a knife, and secretly open the door and see who's there. And if there's an intruder, I can fight back. The opposite of protecting would be to be harsh. You know, St. Paul tells fathers in particular not to be harsh or to provoke their children, to either provoke them to anger, to make kids mad, or to exasperation, just give up. Fathers are called to protect like St. Joseph. St. Joseph presided over his family. He took leadership and he took the responsibility that he was given seriously. He had to make hard decisions under pressure, like during pregnancy in particular. And he set the spiritual tone of the family alongside Mary. He did not abdicate his role and responsibility as guardian of Jesus. And, you know, he wasn't even genetically related to Jesus in some respects. Technically, they both have the same, you know, lineage back to David, but he was a guardian. He was not the genetic father of him. And then finally, Joseph passed on what he had to our Lord Jesus. We could do the same. Jesus was apprenticed to Joseph, who was his spiritual father. And for many of us, we do not have our own genetic offspring, but we can be fathers and mothers to other people within the household of God. To pass on our wisdom, work ethic, familiar pattern of life, spiritual walk with the Lord to others. Joseph sets an example for us. We can live this out in the church and in our households. We can be present with God's family. We can give sacrificially. We can work to guard the household of God from wolves and false prophets. We can help govern the church rightly, and we can work to apprentice and mentor those younger and less mature than us. And yes, that's the five P's. Present, provide, protect, preside, passing on the faith, or what we have. For us, Saint Joseph represents an ideal father. He voluntarily stepped into the role of guardian for the Lord himself. We learn from his example of what an archetypical father looks like, to protect, to provide, to preside, but above all, he displays a righteous obedience to the Lord. So brothers and sisters, let's imitate Saint Joseph, his godly virtue, his righteous obedience, and our own walk with God, our Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.